This morning is going to be more of a topical word study. I don't have this one text. We'll have to let our fingers do the walking, if you catch the 80s reference there. But we're going to look at escaping the snares of life. Escaping the snares of life. A number of years ago, when Sam was home, he was really big into trapping. Now, when I was a teenager, I wanted to trap, and I had very little opportunity because I had nobody that knew anything about trapping. And so I set some traps, and I'd go and check them, and there would never be anything in them until one day I caught a possum. And that was the extent of my trapping knowledge and ability. I didn't know what I was doing. But Sam had help. He had a lot of people teaching him what to do and what to look for, and I had the privilege of just kind of going along and seeing all of that process. And it is very interesting, especially when you come to the use of snares and how effective those snares can be. And amazingly, oftentimes we would catch the best critters out in the middle of nowhere. We just plop up a snare out in a field on some trail and be able to catch something. Well, God has chosen to use this word snare many times throughout the Word of God, and it teaches us some very important things. And so I want to look at that today. The term is used 68 times in my New King James Bible, which I was rather surprised. I knew there would be several mentions of it, but that is quite a lot of mentions for a word that I never gave too much consideration for. 68 times. There are 7 different Hebrew words and 2 Greek words. There are mainly 2 Hebrew words that are used most often, and so there was a real cultural understanding of the use of a snare, and that's something we probably miss out on today, a little less so in our circles. We have kids that do some trapping and things, but you get to the cities and people have no relationship to this process of setting traps and snares, and what life is like in the use of those things. And so it's important for us to kind of take a step back and look at something that some people would probably find rather unappealing, this aspect of snagging an animal out in the wild and holding it there until you come and club it to death. That's not very appealing. And yet, it is a picture, a reality that God wants to use to teach us about our lives, to teach us about our relationship with Him and how we ought to walk with Him, and the dangers of living life in a fallen world. I can't speak Hebrew and Greek, so I'm not going to try to mention these words, but I'll give you some of the definitions. The first word that's used 22 times in the Hebrew speaks specifically of bird traps. And there is 2 main kinds of bird traps that they would use. There was a bird trap that would pin the bird to the ground, and then the hunter or the fowler would come along and take that bird and sell it or kill it to eat. And then there's the other kind, was a snare that was more like a noose that would pop up and grab the bird around the neck. So that would be for some larger birds. And that obviously is not, you're not as likely to get a live animal out of that process. But the second Hebrew word comes with the idea of a striker, something that strikes quickly. It is a type of snare that is baited It has a lure, kind of a stake or something, a trigger that the lure would be placed on. And as the bird or animal would go after that desired food, then it would trip the trigger and the snare would go off and he would be captured. In the Greek, the term snare comes from the idea of to make fast or to fix. And I think of fixing something. You have a broken shelf or something, and it or broken table leg or something. Everything is unstable, and you put it back together in such a way that it stays put. You use your glue, you use the nails. You want that to be held fast. You want it to be fixed, unmoving. And so that idea carries over to the concept of the snare, because it's going to hold the animal securely until the hunter can come. Another Greek word that is often used is scandalon. We get our term scandalize or scandalous, and that is oftentimes translated as a stumbling block, but the idea is that this is the trigger of the trap. If you have a foot trap, you open it up and you have the pan, that would be the scandalon. That is the trigger that sets the trap off. And that's the idea there. And that could be any person or thing by which one is entrapped or drawn into error or drawn into sin. And so it is used figuratively or metaphorically. It gives us an illustration that is readily used through life situations. That there are all kinds of things out there that draw us out of the right path and into a trap and cause us great grief. So there is a lot of imagery that is intended as we think of this term snare. The first thought that I had is the old bait and switch. We think of that scandalon or that baited stick. It is the idea of the worm that covers the hook. You put a bait out there, even for those bird traps. You might have your noose set up on the ground, and then you put your bird feed or whatever the birds are after inside of there, and it draws the bird in. You have baited them, but then you have a switch. You're not doing it for the benefit of the bird. You're not trying to be nice, and you're not doing it so you can bird watch. You have a evil intent in terms from the bird's perspective. You want to capture and kill the bird. You're offering something that appears good, and then you give it something that is not good at all, being captured or death. We love that in terms of fishing. We have all kinds of lures and things that we cover our hook up. It doesn't do a lot of good just to drag an empty hook through the water. The fish most of the time would not respond to that. But we've studied fish enough. We know their tendencies and what they want to eat when they're hungry. We know their nature. Some of our baits are appeal to them for their appetite, and they come and eat the worm. Other times, it's appeal to their nature. It's you drag a bait past a fish, their natural response may be to reach out and snag it. Or if you drop a bait into their bedding area where they have their nest, their natural response then is to pick that out of their nest and move it away. And it's your opportunity. They have taken the bait, and then you give them the hook. And you have captured them. You've snared them. Oftentimes in our own lives, we are appealed to in many of the same ways. Satan would like to use our own curiosity to lead us astray. He will use our hunger, our desires. Sometimes it's our inclinations. And he lures us away from God and desires to entrap us and to hold us away from him. The second idea that is presented in the aspect of snares is the unseen or unexpected or the surprise. Oftentimes, those birds are completely unaware that there is a trap there. You set the snare, you can put it right out there in the middle of the field on their trail, and because it's the normal course of their life, and they are accustomed to stepping through fences and wires and things, they think nothing of it. They don't recognize it as being a snare. They don't recognize it as being a trap. Now, some animals are much more cunning and careful about those things. Foxes can be very difficult to trap because they have an exceptional smell, and they just have a sense that something's not right, and they stay away from those things. But it's still possible to be able to trick them. They don't realize they're being tricked. And that's the aspect of a snare that's presented to us in Scripture. Sometimes we think, well, I'm not a fool. I'm not one that's going to step into that trap. But the reality is, we wouldn't recognize it as being a trap. We think we're doing something that's very natural, very normal, and we end up being caught fast and not even realizing that we've got a problem. You didn't see it coming. We don't always have the wisdom. In fact, in and of ourselves, we don't. Satan, our enemy, is going to be far wiser than we are. He's got a lot more experience, he has a lot more capacity. He knows how to set a trap, and we would naturally fall into it. Sometimes in Scripture, it's spoken of in terms of God's judgment, something that happens suddenly. And then there is the fact that there are many different kinds of traps. And you can set traps in many different places. You can set the snare on the trail and rely upon their natural course of movement, or you can set it off of the trail with a bait that would draw them away. There's foot traps, and there's snares, and there's conibears, and there's all kinds. Even back in the biblical times, they had many different types of snares, and many snares are very simplistic. Even as simple as what you see on the cartoons with the box and the stick and the string, and you're hiding around the corner waiting for the animal to go in after the cheese. You know, you pull the stick, the box falls, you got your animal trapped. There's all kinds of different traps. And though we may be accustomed and familiar with one trap, that doesn't mean we've got it all figured out. There's many other traps that are available. We think about this aspect of a snare. The end of it is that it brings a loss of freedom and ultimately death. I remember one of the trips that we took in grade school. We went to a lady's house. She was a bird watcher. And she would set up this really fine net across her backyard. And she had bushes and trees, and it was a flyway for birds. And those birds would come through there, and they wouldn't see that net, and they would get caught in that net, and they would get tangled up, and they would just be there until she would come and unwrap them out of the net, and she'd take them and examine them and measure them and put little things on their legs so that she could track the birds And she would know that she caught this one so many years ago or whatever. And so that trap holds them fast. They can't get out. They lose their freedom. These birds, which would normally be going about their business free as a lark, singing, praising God with their little voices, and going about their day feeding and everything, all of a sudden, all of that comes to an end, and they are ensnared. But most of the times when we think of a snare, it is a snare that holds the animal fast until the hunter comes and clubs it in the head. The design is the ultimate death of that which is caught in the snare. And we need to realize that as the Bible speaks of snares over 68 times, that it's trying to warn us that this is not just a stumbling that you're going to just be able to pick yourself up and go on. These are things that will grasp onto your life and strangle you and hold you and suck the life out of you and ultimately bring you to death if you are not released out of the snare. So who sets these snares? Ecclesiastes 9:12. For man also does not know his time. Like fish taken in a cruel net, like birds caught in a snare, so the sons of men are snared in an evil time when it falls suddenly upon them. Life in general, life in a fallen world, life when there are tornadoes and storms and whatever kinds of circumstances that God in His providence allows to come into our life, come upon us very suddenly, and in that sense, it is a snare that restricts the choices that we have. It takes away certain freedoms that we have. But it is in God's plan and design to be used in our life for His honor and glory. But in the sense, it comes upon us suddenly, and we're surprised by these things. The events of life, the aspects of nature have a confining power. Oftentimes, the one that sets the snare, sadly, is ourselves. Proverbs 18, we set our own snares, and we fall into our own traps. Proverbs 18 and verse 7, a fool's mouth is his destruction, and his lips are the snare of his soul. So what we do with our lips ends up creating a restriction in our life, a trap that we set for ourselves and fall into. We don't think about what we're going to say. We don't think about the commitments that we make. And we say things we don't mean, and then we have to be held accountable to them. Chapter 20, verse 25. It is a snare for a man to devote rashly something as holy and afterwards to reconsider his vows. What kind of vows have you taken? Have you really thought carefully? Have you been very mindful, wise, in the choices of the things that you commit to? Because you are setting yourself up sometimes for your own harm, your own destruction, the loss of your own freedom. Exodus chapter 34 and verse 12. Take heed to yourselves, lest you make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land where you are going, lest it be a snare in your midst. Your relationships to other people, what are you committing to? And are your commitments drawing you closer to the Lord? Or are they drawing you away from the Lord? As they would make business commitments with those that were worshiping idols, it was drawing them and their hearts away from God and closer to the things of the devil. and it was by their own doing. Psalm chapter 9, verse 16. The Lord is known by the judgment he executes. The wicked is snared in the work of his own hands. The wicked is snared in the work of his own hands. The things that we choose to do, we bring upon ourselves. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 9. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into the many foolish and harmful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. Here is a very specific desire, but it could be any other number of desires of our heart. What we set our affections on oftentimes are the very snare that we're setting for our own feet. The things we choose to set our desires and affections on are the things which are drawing us away from a relationship with God. They're drawing us into sin. They're drawing us out of freedom. They're drawing us unto death. It's easy to see in somebody else, but oftentimes very difficult to see in our own lives, the snares which we have set for ourselves. Sometimes it is evil people that set snares for us. Psalm 140 and verse 5. The proud have hidden a snare for me, and cords, they have spread a net by the wayside. They have set traps for me. Selah. The wicked, the proud, the workers of iniquity in Psalm 141 and verse 9. Keep me from the snares they have laid for me and from the traps of the workers of iniquity. Let the wicked fall into their own nets while I escape safely. It's one of the sad realities of working in a fallen world. Sometimes we have to work with people who are evil and desire to see you as a believer fall. They want to see you trapped, ensnared, drawn to death, taken away from your God, taken away from your integrity, and they set snares. They want to see you lose your temper. They want to see you curse and do the things that they do. They want to see you fall, and they set traps about you. Bad companions will set traps for us. Proverbs 7:23, we have the immoral woman. In Ecclesiastes 7:26, we have a woman of bad character. That's her heart is all snares and nets. It's a trap. And it's not just women. But the reality is that the immorality of people's character is a trap to us. When you see women dressing immodestly and going about their business with hardly anything on, that is a snare and a trap. Guys, as you look at pornography and things on the internet, that is a snare and a trap unto death. But guys can do the same thing and set snares for women by their careful use of words and giving them certain attentions. There's many ways that immoral people set traps for others. Proverbs 22 and verse 25. Verse 24, make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man do not go, lest you learn his ways and set a snare for your soul. So there again, you're setting the snare yourself by your choice of spending time with these kind of individuals. But it's the low quality of the companions that you choose. Satan himself will set traps for us, and that would be one that we would think naturally, but it's actually not mentioned as often. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 7. Speaking of the qualifications of the pastor, Moreover, he must have a good testimony among those who are outside, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. In 2 Timothy chapter 6. Oh, that's not right. 2 Timothy doesn't have six chapters. I'm missing it here. Sorry. But again, it was the snare of the devil. That is singular. And oftentimes we're talking about different kinds of snares. There's many different snares. But when it speaks of the devil's snare, it speaks of it in terms of singular, the one snare. I think that's interesting. It's something worth giving more consideration to. And I don't know specifically what that one snare points to. It may be the absence of truth, believing a lie. It seems to be referred to in both of the passages. But ultimately, he has one purpose. Whatever bait he may stick on his snare, his desire is to entrap, take your freedom, and bring you to death spiritually. He has one solitary mindset. Sometimes God himself will set snares. Ezekiel chapter 12 and verse 13. I will spread my net over him, and he shall be caught in my snare. I will bring him to Babylon, to the land of the Chaldeans, yet he shall not see it, though he shall die there. This is God setting a snare for one of his chosen people, the Israelites. This is the king of Judah that he is going to encapture and bring into captivity. He has set a trap, a snare that's going to catch him. Sometimes God brings his judgment and his correction in our life in the form of a snare, taking us suddenly, removing our freedoms, and bringing us into harm's way that he might also bring correction to our lives. He also sets a snare for his enemies. You can see in Jeremiah 50 and verse 23 that he sets a snare for the wicked. So we have all of these imageries of snares and traps. And what is our response when we're in a snare? I thought it interesting as I've seen different animals in snares. And I remember the bobcat that's hanging in my office there. We went to the snare. It was placed out in the middle of a pasture, tall grass, and that bobcat had tore up every bit of grass as far as his arms could reach in a giant circle, trying to escape from that snare. He knew he was trapped, and he did not want to be trapped, but he could do nothing about it. He was completely held fast. He tangled that snare up in the grass and everything, and it was just obvious the struggle that had gone on when we weren't there. But I've also seen other animals caught in a snare, and they just sit there, perfectly content to sit in the snare. Obviously didn't try to tear anything up. They didn't try hard to get out. They were caught, and they gave up. Or there may be some that would sit and continue to eat the bait that was set before them. They're entirely captured, but their focus is still so intent on the desire of their heart that they're not mindful of the fact that they're caught. They don't care that they're caught, as long as they can have what they want. I think we see that in our own lives sometimes. There's a point in time when we are very aware that we are snared, we can't get out, we know we've been trapped, we know this is leading to death, and we want out as hard as we can. We give every personal effort that we can to get out of the trap, and it's absolutely useless, but we just fight it all the way to the end. That bobcat, when we walked up to it, he would come out after us, lunge at us, hiss at us, try to get at us. Whereas another animal would just sit there and let you club it in the head. But it didn't change the outcome. He couldn't get out of the trap. Sometimes we get very depressed. We realize we've been caught. We've lost our freedom. We're suffering the consequences of our sin. And we just fall into a dejection, a depression, and we just give up. There's no way out. I can't fight this. But I think the worst of all is the one that sits there and just continues to eat, perfectly content that he's in the trap. And we do that. We can easily forget that we are in the trap, just as long as we keep getting the desire of our heart. So how do we get out of the trap? What is the deliverance from the snare? Proverbs 13, verse 13 and 14. He who despises the word will be destroyed, but he who fears the commandment will be rewarded. The law of the wise is a fountain of life to turn one away from the snares of death. I think this is speaking of the Word of God, the Word and the law, but it's not capitalized there. Many take this as being the wise instruction of the parent, generally wisdom, instruction that we've received, that there is information that is coming into our life that would guide us to avoid the trap. Isn't that the best way to escape a snare, is to not fall into it in the first place? Chapter 14, verse 27. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to turn one away from the snares of death. Interesting, as we look at this, the purpose of the snare is to bring us into bondage. It's to bring us to death. It's to take us out of our relationship and fellowship with God. The way to stay out of the snare is to walk in the fear of the Lord, that we should have a close fellowship with God. If we do walk in the Spirit, we will not accomplish the things of the flesh. The two are just opposites. They're opposed to one another. You can't do them both. You're either walking in a right fellowship and worship of God, or you are walking according to the desires of your own heart, in which case you are ensnared in the traps of the devil. Proverbs 22 and verse 5. Thorns and snares are in the way of the perverse. He who guards his soul will be far from them. Again, the best way is to stay completely away from the snare. Don't go close to the snare. Don't play with the snare. When you know that something is dangerous, you stay away from it. To guard our hearts. Again, it speaks of the affections, the desires, the fleshly things that reside within that are looking to get out, those desires that would latch on to the bait that is set before us. We have to constantly put a guard upon the affections and desires of our heart because they are sinful, not to give free expression to ourselves. Reckon that we are dead to sin, but alive to Jesus Christ. Guard your heart. Proverbs 29 and verse 25. The fear of man brings a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord shall be safe. So again, we emphasize the relationship with God, dedicating our life to the pursuit of God. What is He like? How can I worship Him? What is His will? How does He think about this? constantly looking at all of our experience through the lens of a relationship with God, the fear of the Lord. Psalm 91, verses 1 through 3. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him I will trust. Surely He shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. Again, pointing to that relationship, fellowship, closeness to God, seeking refuge in Him. But here now, we're passing away from our responsibility, and we see that God has a responsibility in the relationship as well. That it is God who's going to direct our path away from the snare, that we would not be trapped in it. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 25 through 26. I think this may be the one I was looking for before. In humility, correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance so that they may know the truth and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. This verse brings three different elements together in escaping the snare. We've already kind of been looking at the personal responsibility. You need to have wisdom and relationship with God and escape the snare. If you are in the snare, you need to take responsibility and take action to get yourself out of it. But there are two other people that are brought into this verse. The other believer, which is in this case Timothy, the overseer of this church, brought into that relationship to gently and lovingly point them in the right direction. That other believers are there to help you to get out of the snare that you're in when you find yourself caught. But then the third is God Himself, that He grants repentance. Apart from that, you're not going to escape your snares. You have to humble yourself before God. God grants you repentance, and you get help from other believers, and you respond to their leading and their directing in spiritual things in your life, and you will be delivered out of these snares. Psalm 141 and verse 9. Verse 8, "But my eyes are upon You, O God, the Lord. In You I take refuge. Do not leave my soul destitute. Keep me from the snares they have laid for me and from the traps of the workers of iniquity. Let the wicked fall into their own nets while I escape safely." God is able to keep us from the snares. Sometimes we look at the sins in our life and it just seems impossible. We can't do it. We can't live a righteous life. We can't not stumble. We can't. But the reality is, God is able. You can't, but God is able. He is able to give us the grace, the wisdom, the understanding to be able to avoid these things. But beyond that, He's also able to get us out of them. Psalm 124 in verse 6. "Blessed be the Lord, who has not given us as prey to their teeth. Our soul has escaped as a bird from the snare of its fowlers. The snare is broken, and we have escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth." I love this verse because it goes beyond. I want to be set free of the snare of sin in my life. I want to put off these sinful habits. I want to be fully aware of the things that I'm ensnared in and get out of them. And God is able to do that, but He goes beyond. What does it tell us that He does? He breaks the snare. Now, sometimes in trapping, the animal tears the snare up so bad you can't use it again. But most of the time, you're able to let the snare off, reset the snare, and catch the animal again. And oftentimes we think we've escaped out of a snare, and the reality is we just keep falling back into it. The same snare, time and again. We go to the same place, we do the same thing. We're snared. We never did get out of it. But when God gives us freedom from the snare, He doesn't just set us free and let us go our way. He breaks the snare, so that snare is not going to ever get us again. He's able to do that for us. And when He sets us free, we are free indeed. And it says there that he ends with the praise of God, but he's pointing to the fact He is the Creator God. He made heaven and earth. There is no power greater than that. And that is the God who is at work for us. We call upon Him. We confess our sin. We turn to Him. We develop our relationship and fellowship and worship of God. And God sets us free. Freedom is in Jesus Christ. It's not in my effort. It's not in my wisdom. It's not in my righteousness. It is in Jesus Christ. As I walk in a relationship with Him, He breaks the snare. He sets me free. And it'll be a freedom that we've never really known before. True freedom. Let's bow our heads, shall we? Dear Heavenly Father, help us to learn the lessons of the snare. We are not wise enough in our own to be able to know what the snares are. And we may even be caught in some snares and not even realize it, because those snares so much are in line with the desires of our own sinful heart. It may be the relationships that we're keeping. It may be the entertainments that we choose. It may be any number of things, and we're just not even aware. Lord, we pray that You would open our eyes to see. Lord, help us to have a desire, a passion to get out of the snares that we fall into. And that we would not just succumb to depression and discouragement, but that we would follow the Word of God, come back to You, walk in a relationship with You, and allow You to break the snare. And we pray, Lord, that we would see the power of Creator God on our behalf, setting us free from sin and developing us in our relationship of righteousness. Lord, show us what freedom is. May our hearts yearn for You. Give us repentance, Lord, that we would hate sin, to hate it with the hatred that You have for it, that we would turn from it with all of our hearts and we'd turn to You. Teach us to walk in Your ways. Keep us from the snares of the devil. We give You praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen.